following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Multiple billions of people all over the world believe in hell. Some believe their enemies, or even their relatives, are right now screaming in the fires of Gehenna. Is there a real hell? And if there is, where is it? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asks, where is hell? And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Have you ever been frightened at the prospect of burning in hell forever? Many Christians, Muslims, and other religious people believe that the wicked will burn forever in fire. Perhaps it doesn't occur to them that fire actually burns or consumes physical material substance. Many mistakenly reason that souls are immortal, and that wicked souls will be tormented by flames forever. What is the truth? What does the Bible really say? Where is hell? According to a 1996 Barna Research report, quote, 3 in 10 adults, or 31%, see hell as an actual location, a place of physical torment where people may be sent. If it is an actual location, where is it? In the center of the earth? Later in the program, we'll see the answer to that question. It's amazing what people believe. Jeffrey Scheller, in his article Other Faiths, Other Hells, discusses concepts of hell in various religions. The Quran, Islam's holy book, describes hell as a lake of fire, a burning bed of misery, where the wicked and the infidel suffer endlessly, apart from God. Even the Arabic word for hell, Jahannam, has the same derivation as the Hebrew hell, Gehenna, a locale used for incineration. Here is one quote from the Quran that will give you an idea of Muslim belief concerning the wicked. Gehenna suffices for a blaze. Surely those who disbelieve in our signs, we shall certainly roast them at a fire. As often as their skins are wholly burned, we shall give them in exchange other skins that they may taste the chastisement. Jeffrey Scheller points out that in Hinduism, there are 21 hells in which the soul is recycled to a higher state in the next life. The religion of Jainism, Scheller explains, views the universe as having 3 realms, the lowest containing 8.4 million hells where humans are punished for their sins. Those guilty of unpardonable sins are kept in a bottomless abyss forever. But we also need to ask, what is hell? Is it a place or is it a condition? The Barna report stated, 4 in 10 adults, or 37%, say hell is not a place, but it represents a state of permanent separation from the presence of God. What do you think? Is it a place, a condition, or just a literary symbol? A decade after Scheller's 1991 article in U.S. News and World Report magazine, the magazine reported on changes in people's beliefs in this January 31, 2000 issue. Scheller reported the following shift in Catholic belief, quote, "The latest round of revisionism was touched off last summer by a surprising editorial in La Civiltà Cattolica, an influential Jesuit magazine with close ties to the Vatican. Hell, the magazine declared, is not a place, but a state, a person's state of being in which a person suffers from the deprivation of God." That's on page 45 of the U.S. News Magazine. A few days after the Jesuit magazine statement, Pope John Paul II told an audience at the Vatican that rather than a place, hell indicates the state of those who freely and definitively separate themselves from God. End of quote. Scheller comments that the Pope's remarks are better understood as an attempt to retrieve and update a long-neglected doctrine of the Church and make it available once again as a prod to piety and virtue. R. Albert Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, disagrees. He is quoted as saying, "Scripture clearly speaks of hell as a physical place of fiery torment and warns us that we should fear." End of quote. Well, what is the truth? What does the Bible really say? Let's understand there is a judgment for every human being. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Yes, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is reward and punishment, and the Bible teaches that there will be a lake of fire at the final judgment. Yes, the incorrigibly wicked will face a fiery judgment. They'll be utterly burned up and destroyed, as we'll see. We'll discuss that more in detail later in the program. But the current religious teaching about hell tells us that our departed unsaved relatives are right now suffering in hell. Is there a more fundamental truth that we might be missing? The presumption is that immortal souls will be punished forever, whether physically, mentally, or symbolically in some manner. The presumption is that the unsaved who died are right now, at this moment, suffering the torments of hell. I've got news for you. Listen carefully. There is not one departed human soul now suffering in an ever-burning hell. That may be shocking or startling news for some of you, but you can prove that to yourself from the Bible, and it should be good news for you. As a minister who's performed many funerals, I've seen the agony of those who falsely believed a loved one who just died as a non-Christian was writhing in pain, suffering the torments of hellfire. As shocking as it may seem, your Bible teaches that there is no immortal soul. Matthew 10, verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe your Savior? He plainly states that God is able to destroy the soul. Just where did this concept of souls burning in fire come from? Some ideas came from pre-Christian concepts, but the common idea of hell was popularized in the famous poem by Dante Alighieri in La Divina Commedia, or The Divine Comedy. It was written between 1302 and 1321 A.D. His poem consists of three parts: Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso, or Hell, Purgatory, and Paradise. The poet Virgil guides Dante on his journey through hell. At the entrance to hell is the foreboding sign, "Abandon all hope, you who enter here." Virgil tells Dante about his tour of hell. Quote, "I'll be your guide, and you will follow me, and I will lead you through a world of pain, where dead souls writhe in endless agony and clamor as they cry to die again." That's from Canto 1, page 24. Dante wrote his Divine Comedy as an allegory to teach certain principles and lessons. The content also reflects the politics and history of Dante's contemporary Italy. But his poem is not a literal reflection of the Bible's teaching on hell. Sadly, many have come to mistakenly believe the images painted by Dante in his poem to be literal. Let's notice some basic fundamental scriptures with which you may be familiar. Perhaps you've just read over them, taking for granted what your church taught you or what your parents taught you as a child. Romans 6 and verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Notice the sobering contrast here. On the one hand, sinners earn death, not life. On the other hand, God's gift is eternal life through Christ our Savior. Life on the one hand, death on the other. Notice that the Scripture does not say the wages of sin is immortal life in the flames of hell. Read it in your own Bible. The wages of sin is death, D-E-A-T-H, the absence of life. Now, let's see what Jesus said in the most famous verse in the Bible. It's called the golden verse, or the most precious verse, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, we see the contrast between life and death. On the one hand, everlasting life. On the other hand, perishing. To perish means to be destroyed or come to nothing. Jesus came that we might not perish or be dead for eternity. He came that we might not be destroyed forever or lose our life forever. The book of Ezekiel also emphasizes this truth, that the soul can be destroyed, as Jesus said. The Creator God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. God repeats this truth in verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. Now, you may be asking, what happened to my loved ones who died as non-Christians? Are they lost forever? We'll answer that question in the next part of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program entitled, Where is Hell? This is one of the most important questions you'll need to answer. This audio tape will help you in your study of the Bible. You'll have the opportunity to review the biblical references and quotes we've shared with you on this program, and you'll be able to do so at your own convenience and in your own time. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape, Where is Hell?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we saw that millions and millions still believe in physical hellfire, while others view hell as the eternal pain of separation from God. We also saw that the Bible teaches that the dead are really dead. They are, in fact, awaiting a resurrection, either to immortality at the return of Christ or a resurrection to judgment at the end of the millennium. We also read Jesus' statement in Matthew 10, verse 28, that God is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The soul is destroyed in hell. Jesus said so. It doesn't continue to live in torment. The Greek word translated hell in Matthew 10, 28 is Gehenna. The word Gehenna is derived from the Hebrew expression Gehinnom, which means the Valley of Hinnom. The valley is on the south side of Jerusalem. I've been there several times, and perhaps you have too. Anciently, the Valley of Hinnom was used as a place to dump refuse. Fires burned continuously and fed on the refuse. Gehenna then became a symbol of a place of judgment associated with fire. The Greek word for Gehenna is used by the gospel writer Matthew in Matthew 5 and verse 22. Jesus said, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire or Gehenna fire." Jesus was saying that those who have an unrepentant, murderous attitude will be in danger of Gehenna. As we'll see later, it's the lake of fire where the unrepentant wicked are burned up and suffer the penalty of eternal death. We've asked the question, where is hell? In one sense, the Valley of Hinnom was a location of hell. But the word hell is misleading because there are four words, one in Hebrew and three in Greek, translated hell in the English Bible, and each has a different meaning. What's incredible in most discussions of the subject of hell is the assumption that hell automatically means eternal fire. This can be very, very misleading. The next time someone discusses the subject of hell with you, ask him the question, which hell are you talking about? There are four words translated hell in the Bible with three different meanings. The original language of the Old Testament is Hebrew. In the King James translation of the Bible, the Hebrew word often translated hell is Sheol, which simply means pit or grave. It does not mean a place of ever-burning fire. The Hebrew word Sheol occurs 65 times in the Old Testament, and in the King James Version, it's translated as grave 31 times, hell 31 times, and pit 3 times. The New International Version of the Bible translates the word Sheol in the Old Testament as grave and never translates Sheol as hell. The word Sheol simply means a pit or a grave. Now, there are 3 Greek words in the New Testament translated hell, and each has a different meaning. The 3 Greek words in the New Testament are Hades, Gehenna, and Tartarus. The Greek word Hades also means grave or pit, as does the Hebrew word Sheol. It does not mean a place of fire. So when someone says the word hell, it could simply mean, based on the Bible, the grave, not an ever-burning fire. As we've already seen, the word Gehenna refers to the fire that will destroy the soul. Now, the 4th word translated hell in the Bible is based on the Greek word Tartarus. This denotes a condition of restraint, and it does not apply to humans, but to fallen angels. Notice it in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Here is the explanation given in an expository dictionary of biblical words by W. E. Vine. The verb tartaru, translated cast down to hell in 2 Peter 2:4, signifies to consign to Tartarus, which is neither Sheol, nor Hades, nor hell, but the place where those angels, whose special sin is referred to in that passage, are confined to be reserved under judgment. The region is described as pits of darkness in the Revised Version. What then is hell? From the biblical perspective, it's 3 different places or conditions. First, Sheol in the Hebrew, or Hades in the Greek, means pit or grave. Second, Gehenna means the Valley of Hinnom. Symbolically, it refers to fiery judgment. Thirdly, Tartarus, which signifies the confining of fallen angels. So you see, to use the word hell for all 3 meanings does not accurately communicate the truth of the Bible. Again, we need to ask, what particular hell are you talking about? Now, is God unfair? Will He not give genuine opportunity for salvation to everyone on earth? Would God consign individuals made in His image, who've never heard the gospel, to an ever-burning hellfire? No, of course not. God is not unfair, and He will give everyone an opportunity. Most Christians know Acts 4 and verse 12. Speaking of the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter boldly proclaims this, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Millions and millions of people have not even heard the true gospel or the name of our Savior. How could they even have a chance to believe? Well, the Bible shows us that all human beings will have a genuine opportunity for salvation. For those who have not been called to really understand the truth, there's the white throne judgment described in Revelation, the 20th chapter. And who will be in that judgment? Who will be given their first real opportunity of salvation? Let's look at one example. It may be a little difficult for some to believe, but it's really encouraging when you understand God's overall plan of salvation. What do you think is the ultimate fate of some of the most wicked people on earth that God has already punished? Notice what Jesus said about the wicked people in Sodom, Matthew 11, verse 23. "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." God consumed the people of Sodom with fire and brimstone and destroyed every human being. Are they now also suffering the so-called flames of hell? No, they are dead. Jesus said it would be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment. Now, what judgment is that? Turn in your Bible to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Here is a resurrection to judgment. The books will be opened, as the scriptures say. Those who have been spiritually blinded will have an understanding of the Bible and the words of life for the first time. Perhaps your son or daughter or relative died as a non-Christian. Most likely they were blinded, and God will give them their first real opportunity for salvation in the white throne judgment period after the millennium. Let's read about that in Revelation, the 20th chapter, starting with verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Those who have suffered from their own sins, those who have been innocent victims of oppression and genocide, will be resurrected to understand the book of life. They will have their first real opportunity to understand the gospel and the love of God the Father for all humanity. As Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the white throne judgment, billions of atheists, blinded Christians, and even non-Christians will finally learn from the pain of the past, and they'll be given the opportunity to truly repent, believe the gospel, and eventually inherit the kingdom of God. But what about those who've sealed their conscience and their will to rebel, hate, and sin? Those who have known the truth of God, those who have willfully rejected the forgiveness and love of God, what will happen to them? They will be burned up in a lake of fire. Notice Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here is the second death, the eternal death penalty, from which there is no resurrection. Those who have sealed their mind never to repent or surrender to Jesus Christ will be totally burned up. They'll be destroyed forever. Let's understand, the lake of fire will expand to cover the whole earth. Yes, the earth will be purified by fire. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now notice what the book of Malachi says will happen to the incorrigibly wicked. Malachi, the 4th chapter. These are those who have sealed their minds to never repent and never obey God. Malachi 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Eternal of Hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. The wicked will be totally destroyed. They'll receive the eternal death penalty. Malachi continues with the description in verse 3. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, on the day that I do this, says the Eternal of Hosts. Once the earth is purified by Gehenna fire, or the lake of fire, everyone will either be a glorified member of the family of God, as described in the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, or they will be dead for all eternity, burned up in the lake of fire. What must you do to avoid Gehenna fire? We'll discuss the answer to that question in the conclusion of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program entitled, Where is Hell? You need to know the truth from your own Bible, and this audio tape will help you in your study of the Bible. You'll have the opportunity to review the biblical references and quotes we've shared with you on this program at your own convenience and in your own time. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape, Where is Hell?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
God is a God of absolute justice and absolute love. He'll give everyone the opportunity of salvation in His time and in His way. The devil has deceived the whole world, and the devil's blinded the vast majority of human beings on earth today. But God has a plan of salvation, even for the wicked sinners of Sodom. They will have learned an excruciatingly painful lesson, and they will have their chance in the white throne judgment. Those who have been the innocent victims of injustice and genocide will be healed, restored, and blessed with their first opportunity for salvation as well. Those who are called, faithful, and chosen in this age will rule with Christ in His kingdom. They'll help teach and serve and rule the earth with Christ for 1,000 years. Then comes the resurrection to judgment. And finally, the real hellfire, the lake of fire, that will consume the incorrigibly wicked. In the meantime, we all need to heed the Apostle Peter's warning we read in 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? So we must spiritually be vigilant and faithful, looking forward to a wonderful future, a hope-filled future we've described on previous programs. Peter continues in verse 13, Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The truth of the Bible is inspiring and comforting. It gives us hope. Dr. Meredith and I will continue to share with you the amazing truths of the Bible. You need to know the answers to the questions of life. So be sure to join us again next week, right here at this same time.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5582 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.